Sorry, I'm using the wrong mic. Is this one okay? Okay, good morning, church family. It's the first Sunday of the month. We're the first Sunday of December. So that means it's multi-gen. Yay! Right, and so this is the one week of the month where we get all of our whole church to be able to worship together, hear a message together, and just be together the whole time. And for me, it's my favorite Sunday of the month because I just love our church family. I love being able to stand up here and look at all the different faces, and I know a lot of you, and it's like, wow, our church is so blessed to have so many awesome people. And so it's always a blessing for me to be a part of MultiGen, and I hope it is for you too. So our church values multi-generational discipleship, multi-generational opportunities for us to be together, and so that's why we have our MultiGen service, because we want everyone from the youngest to the oldest to know that Jesus loves them and that we're one church family and we can walk together. So hopefully multi-gen is something that, if it hasn't yet, it continues to grow in your heart. Because I know for me, it's one of the reasons that I just really love our church too. So we've been going through this series. You guys, kids, do you guys remember what the series is? Yes. For multi-gen? Abby. Anyone can cook, right? So we're going through this series called Anyone Can Cook, and I brought my Anyone Can Cook book, right? And the theme verse for our series is 1 Samuel 16:7, and it should go on the screen, yes. And this is it. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" And so through our series of Anyone Can Cook, we've been looking at different characters in the Bible that were overlooked because they didn't meet the world standards of being the best, being the smartest, but the Lord looked at their heart. And that's why they became great, because they walked with the Lord and did great things. So today we're actually going to be looking at the person who has made the greatest impact in the world ever in history. And I am really excited. Are you guys excited?
Yes.
Why are you guys excited? Oh, I thought you were going to say because Christmas is coming up, right? So we're in December, and for a lot of people, December is a time of great expectations. We're excited for Christmas to come, right? And especially for kids. Kids, are you guys excited for Christmas? That doesn't sound... When I was a kid, I was really excited. You guys don't sound that excited. Can we try that again? Are you guys excited for Christmas? Okay, so as we prepare for Christmas coming up, we're going to be learning about who we're excited for as we prepare for Christmas. And I feel like one of the things that the Lord has been saying for today's service is that He is raising our expectations. He's raising our expectations for what we can expect from Christmas. Okay, and who Jesus is. So, I'm excited for another reason. I'm excited because I get to introduce to you our special guest speaker. It's not me today, actually. Get to introduce Sean. Sean's going to come up and he's going to... Okay, so I told you that today is about expectations, right? So Sean and I have been working together this past month trying to get ready for today's message and today's service. And up until yesterday, it was kind of like, I hope this we pull it off. Because it's like, Sean, are you good? I'm good. Sean, are you good? I'm good. And originally, I had anticipated Sean would do a portion and I would do a majority. But then when I woke up this morning, I got this long document of all the things that Sean had prepared. I was like, oh, Sean, you should just be the one to give the message today. So Sean is going to be bringing it with what the Lord has been showing him as he's been doing some study on Jesus. And then I'll come back up and help us to wrap things up. But let's give it up for Sean. Yeah.
Check. Oh, okay. There we go. All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Sean. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this life and the opportunities that you give us, Lord. And God, I ask today, Lord, that you would Open up our hearts and our ears, Lord, to receive from you, God, whatever it is you're trying to speak to us. And Lord, that you would just break down, Lord, any limits that we're holding you to, Lord, and just expand our expectations for what you're going to do and how you're going to move in our lives, Lord. Pray over everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus, this thing keeps moving. Okay. All right. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to start with a game. So I need two volunteers from the kids. But, okay, maybe the adults too, depending on if the kids want it. But I need two kids who think they know basketball players, NBA players. NBA players. Mason? Mason, come on up. He shook his head no. Too bad. Okay. Who do you want to come up here with you? Oh, over here. Eliana, come on up. Perfect. Sorry, I didn't see you over there. I didn't tell you guys that we're gonna be playing for prizes, okay? So there's some stakes to this game. All right. So, all right, come a little closer. I just want you guys to look up there and, oh yeah, grab the mics. We're gonna show a basketball player from the NBA, and if you know who it is, I want you to raise your hand, okay? And for the rest of the kids, I need you guys to pay attention to them and let me know who raised their hand first so we can let them guess, okay? And yeah, all right, let's show the first player. Oh, Mason?
LeBron James.
LeBron James, there we go. Okay, so 1 point to Mason. Eliana, it's okay, we have more. Next one. What is that? Yeah, it's a Clippers guy. So, you know any Clippers players, Mason? Yeah, you know any Clippers players? No, that's, yeah, right, who does? Guys, this is Michael Olakandi? Who? Who? Yeah, but I don't know. Apparently he was in the NBA. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, who's this? Mason again?
Victor Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama. You got it. Nice. All right, next one. Uh-oh. Who's this? Someone knows. Think you guys know? No? All right. This is Anthony Bennett. You ever heard of Anthony Bennett? No? No. Fair enough. All right, next one. Oh.
Oh.
Mason again?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal, there you go. All right, next one. Oh, another Clippers player. Mason, again?
I think it's Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin, there you go. All right. That's actually a Clippers player that people know. So, here we go. You guys know this one. Dang, all the unks are like upset at these kids right now for not knowing this one. You need a hint? You guys need a hint? Here's your hint. Abracadabra.
Oh.
Yeah?
I got it.
What does
Magic
it mean?
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson, there you go. All right, perfect. Was that the last one? Okay. All right, so Mason wins. So Mason, we're gonna give you this 1 pound chocolate bar from Trader Joe's. I don't know what you're gonna do with it, but I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Okay. And then for Eliana, you still have a chance to win something. So I'm gonna ask you this. What do you think all these players that we showed have in common?
They all played on the NBA.
Yes. But there's one more thing, and I'm gonna give you a hint. It has to do with the number one. The number one. And the draft.
They were in the number one
team. Yeah! All right, you get these oranges that Damon said were good. And a banana. Yeah. Cool. All right, clap it up for these guys, man. They did great. All right. Awesome. Oh, shoot. Sorry, let me pull out my notes. Okay. So the reason like we played that game is because I think the NBA draft gives, dude, this thing keeps moving down. all right, whatever. I'm just freestyling it. I think the NBA draft gives like a really good picture of what expectation looks like and how it can shape like the way we view people, the way we treat people. We had a few guys up there like Magic Johnson, LeBron, Wemby. And those guys, you know, they had like huge expectations, right? And they met up to them. Like we see those players, and they're great. But some of the other guys, like Ola Candy or or Anthony Bennett, it's like, who are these guys? And it's because we don't know them because they didn't meet these expectations that that were given to them by these teams that drafted them first overall. And before we get into the rest of the message, I want to show one more player, and I want you guys to tell me who it is. Steph Curry. All right. And kids, do you think Stephen Curry was picked first overall? Raise your hand if you think Stephen Curry was picked up first overall. All right, Coda, why do you think Stephen Curry was picked first overall? What did he say?
He said, it's his uncle's favorite.
Oh, it's his uncle's favorite. It's a valid reason. Why do you guys think any first overall pick is picked first overall? Because they're good, right? So because Steph Curry is so good, we'd expect him to be picked first overall. But actually, he wasn't. He was a 7th overall pick. And coming into the draft, there were some doubts around him. And, you know, scouts would say, oh, he's too weak, he's too small, he just switched from shooting guard to point guard, so he doesn't really know how to run the game at an NBA level. So there were these doubts surrounding him, and his expectations weren't as high as some of those players who were picked above him. And I kind of wanted to use Steph Curry as an example for Jesus and the expectations that people had for Jesus during the time he was on earth. And I want to preface, like, I'm not saying Steph Curry is Jesus. Like, this is my first time up here. I'm not trying to, like, commit heresy or anything. So, yeah. So, right now, we have a picture of high school Steph up there. Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh, lifesaver. Okay, right now we have a picture of high school Curry up there. And I think this is a good representation of what Jesus was like when he was young. And to be honest, we don't really have a lot of, like, in the Bible about Jesus when he was younger. But one of the few passages we do have about it is Luke 2, 41 through 47. It is a long paragraph. So I'm just going to paraphrase it. Basically, this is when, like, Jesus was around 12 years old, and his parents are taking him up to Jerusalem for a Passover feast. And as they're going back, Jesus, like, stays behind, and he's, like, plans to hang out with, like, the people at the teachers at the temple and just learn from them and, like, have discussion with them. And, and his parents are freaked out. So, kids, do not do this with your parents, okay? Make sure they know if you're going to stay behind for something. But these teachers that he was talking with, they were like really impressed with like just his understanding and the way he spoke. And, you know, in the same way, like Steph Curry in high school, you know, he was lighting it up, and the people who were there to witness him do that, they were impressed. But at the time, Jesus was not like well known around the area. It was just like at Jerusalem and like the temples that he would be at. So next, we'll go on to College Curry. There you go, at Davidson. And I think this is a great representation of Jesus during his early ministry, around the time when he was 30. So after being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus went around to different synagogues around Galilee, around the region of Galilee, and he began to teach, and many people were impressed by his teachings. And we see that in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. So he was starting to like make a name for himself and starting to be known around the region. But eventually he came back to his hometown, Nazareth, as we see in verses 16 through 21 of chapter 4. And he makes some, it's another one passage, but he makes some pretty bold claims when he's there. And as he's there, he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and this is what he reads. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And it says here that after he rolled up the scroll and came back down and sat down, like, everyone was just, like, looking at him. And they're looking at him because, like, why would you read this? And Jesus knows this already. So he says verse 21, he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So basically he's saying, guys, this thing that I just read, it's about me. And yeah, right? And everyone's like confused because this is his hometown, right? So everyone knows him and they're like, Jesus? You know, this guy that we've seen grow up like throughout the years, you know, and you know, he's a bright kid, right? Like he was at the temples hanging out with all the teachers and he had this great understanding. But seriously, like you're this guy that these prophets are talking about? And Jesus is like doubling down. So if you look down like later in like verses like 23 to 27, like he's saying, he's giving references to other prophets back in the day who like weren't accepted by their hometowns. And dude, like this made everyone like so mad. They were like ready to throw him off a cliff. So yeah, so Jesus like got out of there. But point is, these people had an expectation for what Jesus, like who Jesus was. And it was not the Messiah. So when he made these bold claims that, you know, he's the one who is like prophesied to come, they were not like comfortable with that. And that affected like the way that they treated him. And then next we have rookie year Steph. Sorry, I might be dragging this a little bit, but bear with me. Yeah, so, you know, earlier on we talked about his early ministry, and there's people that are with him, you know? They're, like, excited about his teachings. They really are impressed by him, but there's still some doubters. Like, we talked about Steph in his draft reports. They had, like, a few weaknesses listed down, and there's a reason why he was picked 7th overall, not 1st overall. But Jesus, later in his ministry, began to do miracles. And he began to, like, show people, like, the power that he had. And this was, like, very exciting for the people who were waiting for the coming Messiah, because they, during this time, they were under Roman rule. And what they expected out of the Messiah was for them to set them free from Roman rule and to restore their nation's independence. And they were excited because they're like, oh shoot, like this Jesus guy, like he's got, you know, he's got that oomph, you know, he's ready to like set us free and like, you know, restore our nation. But we'll look in John chapter 6. This is after Jesus feeds the 5,000. So this is pretty miraculous. And he's already healed a ton of people and performed like many miracles. But yeah, and these people, they're excited. So they're ready to crown him like king. And in verse 15, it says, Jesus was aware that they intended to come and take him by force to make him king. So they were ready to like kidnap him and like force him to like conquer Rome or whatever. But Jesus, knowing this, he's very smart. So I think he wanted to thin out the crowd a little bit. And he began to teach about eternal life and the kingdom of heaven. So in verse 35, he begins teaching by saying, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. And he goes on and he talks about like all these things that like the people who are there to listen to him like aren't really like trying to hear. You know, they're trying to hear, oh yeah, we're going to stand up and we're going to defeat Rome and we're going to become an independent nation again. And he goes on to give like kind of this, honestly, like graphic picture of his followers needing to like eat his flesh and drink his blood, and you know that symbolism for you know, accepting his sacrifice on the cross. But the people at the time, they didn't know this, so they were kind of grossed out. You know, they were like, "What the heck?" Like, it says here. In verse 60, so then many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, the statement is very unpleasant. Who can listen to it? As a result of it, in verse 66, we see that many of his disciples, like, stopped following him. And again, this is because they held a certain expectation for who Jesus was and what he was going to do during his time on earth. But Jesus had a bigger idea in mind. He had a bigger plan. And some people just, they were uncomfortable with that, so they stopped following him. And I think in the present, you know, we have a better understanding of who Jesus is and what his mission was on earth. So Damon's going to go more in depth about, like, what this means, like what our expectations for Jesus look like now and how we can overcome them. Yeah.
Great. Oh, thanks. All right, thanks, Sean. Let's give him another hand. So one of the things that I felt like really was highlighted to me and what Sean had prepared was this statement that he said, our expectations shape how we view or how we treat someone. So one of the reasons that we have multi-gen service is because we have high expectations for our kids. For you guys, we recognize that you guys are not just little kids. You guys are young adults. You guys eventually are going to grow into adults. And so this is an opportunity for us as a church to be able to model to you what it looks like to be an adult and to say we have high expectations for you. As a church, we have high expectations for our kids and what they can do. We don't just say, oh, they can only sit for like 30 seconds and then we have to entertain them all day. The Lord can speak to you too. Kids, the Lord can speak to you too. The Lord can use a service like this to speak to you. And that's why one of the reasons that we have multi-gen service. Because we want to raise up our expectations for you guys and what the Lord has for you too. Parents, how do you guys see your kids? What do you expect from them? Are you looking at them as like, oh, I just got to get through this. I just got to survive. Or are we saying, oh, my kid could be the next Pastor Barry. My kid could be the next Auntie Steph. My kid could be the next Uncle Bob. How are we viewing them? Because how we view them and what we expect from them, that's going to determine how we treat them. The Lord wants to raise our expectations. How about for church? What do we expect from church? Are we expecting church to be a time where we just, this is a thing I got to do on Sunday, I got to check it off my box. I got to check it off my list. I got to check it off my list. Because if that's what you expect, that's probably what you're going to get. Are we expecting maybe just to hear some encouraging words? Because if that's all we're expecting, maybe that's what we're going to get. What if the Lord wants you to raise your expectation that when you come to church, you're going to meet and encounter the risen Jesus who came in flesh and blood? And that's why we celebrate Christmas, is to recognize that Jesus came, God, the one who created the world, came in flesh and blood to be with us. And that's the kind of God that we follow. He came to be with us. And so if we expect to meet the risen King when we come to church, I believe he's going to show up. He's going to show up. Last question. What do we expect from ourselves? What do we expect from ourselves in our faith, in our journey? Is it just about, I got to believe the right things in my head? I got to know the right stuff? Well, a lot of the people that had expectations for Jesus that decided not to follow him, they knew a lot. They knew a lot. And he didn't live up to their expectations because he didn't fit all the things that they knew, or at least that they thought they knew. Is it just about knowing the right things? Or do we expect a little bit more? Is it also to know the right things and then to do more good stuff than bad stuff? Is that what we expect? Is that what our faith is about? Sometimes when we get into those modes, you might have heard it from us as a church, is we have this like performance-based thinking. We get our value from the things that we do. And that causes a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of uneasiness inside. So I want to leave us with one thing. Uncle Bob earlier said today is about one thing. It's about one thing. In our discernment time, he said it's about one thing. And so the one thing, it's not just a bunch of checklist things to do. It's not about knowing the right stuff. The one thing is Jesus wants us to follow him. That's the one thing. Follow him. When Pastor Robert, one of the messages that I always remember, he used this term, hemeron, right? Hemeron. Do you guys remember what that means?
Nope.
It means daily. Daily, right? Daily. Every day. Every day. Jesus is asking us, follow me today. Follow me today. So I only have one thing that I have to do today. Right? Christmas time is a time where we're always busy. Got stuff to shop for, got cards to make, got things to do, got activities, events, all kinds of stuff. But there's only one thing that I need to do today, and that's to follow him. But the question then is, how do we know that we're following the right person? And that's where I believe this past series that we just went through on 1 John is so important. And the message that Pastor Barry gave last week, if you haven't heard it, if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to it. But I feel like that sums it up. How do we know we're following the right person? It is important for us to know the right things. It is important for us to have our head in the right space, to understand. A knowing in our mind. But it's a knowing in our mind so that we know that we're following the right person. And that's important. And that's important. And we believe that, especially for the kids, we want you guys to know who Jesus is and who we were following. So actually, Karis, can you grab that little bag that's in the back, the white one with the handles? Okay, so for all the families out there, Auntie Steph made a gift. And like we said, we're prepping for Christmas. Christmas is coming, right? So each year, Auntie Steph makes a gift from Children's Ministries for the families. And it's actually really cool. Like we said, we want to make sure we're following the right person. So each family is going to be getting a little frame, and kind of in alignment with the 12 days of Christmas, we've come up with cards that say the 12 different names of Jesus that the Bible tells us about who Jesus is. And so for each day, for each of the families, we want you guys to reflect on one of the names of Jesus. So we know that we're following the right person. Okay? So Auntie Steph has made one for each family. So after service, you guys can go outside and see her, and she'll give out the bags for the families. But we also wanted to make this available to people without kids in our children's ministries. So we'll take a sign up. If you are interested and you're going to participate, we'll make a set for you, and we'll give them out next Sunday at church. So we'll just have a sign-up sheet. You can get one if you're wanting to participate in this with us as a whole church family. We'll have an opportunity for you to do it. And if we start next Sunday, there's 12 days till Christmas. So it works out perfect. So as we're wrapping things up, one of the things that we want to leave you with is that who Jesus says we are and what it looks like to follow him. So John 9 says this. This is a claim that Jesus made about himself. He says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so what does it look like for us to follow him? It says in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And that's the direction that our church is going. We've recognized that the Lord has called us to be a people that shine his light to the world. And so as we follow him, we're shining his light to the world. And the picture that I kept getting is a candle. Jesus is a candle, and he's lit. And so there's different ways that we can respond to this candle. We can look at the candle and say, "Oh, I don't believe you're a candle." Right? That's easy. We can respond to Jesus, "I don't believe who you are, who you say you are." Another way that we can respond is, "I believe you're a candle. Cool, you're a candle." The next way we can respond is we can say, "Wow, Jesus, you said that I'm a candle like you. I believe that. I believe I'm a candle." But the thing is, what does it look like to follow him? He's a candle that's lit. So if we're just a candle, that doesn't mean we're following him. He wants us to be a candle that's lit. Because when we're all candles that are lit, that's when we come together to be the city on a hill, that everyone can see his light shining. Jesus didn't call the best of the best. A lot of his disciples were fishermen, were tax collectors, were other things. They weren't the best of the best. They weren't the brightest of the students. He called everyday people like you and me. And if you're here today, he's inviting you to. He's asking you one question. Will you follow me today? Thank you, Riley. All right, let's close up. Jesus, we just thank you for who you are and that you are a God who believes in us, that you see more in us than we even see in ourselves, that you can see a fisherman and say, he's not just a fisherman, he's a fisher of men, and that this person is going to be someone who's going to shine my light to the world. Thank you for the ways that you used Sean this morning to show us about expectations and about how we can expect more from you because of who you say you are in your word. So Jesus, as we prepare during this Advent season, as we prepare for Christmas, may we recognize and know more and more about you, so that we can come into more and more intimacy with you. So that our head knowledge can lead us into an intimacy knowledge, a closeness knowledge of who you are. So God, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a God who loves us, cares for us, and wants to be with us. So we invite you here during this time as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen.